Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning about books and our book pick segment. We have been welcoming independent bookstores since the beginning of this program when we started many, many years ago. And we are thrilled that each and every week we take time out to find out what independent bookstores are stocking on the shelves. Owner Phil Lewis of the Battenkill Bookshop in of the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont. Thank you. You're close to the Battenkill, but yes, it's the Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont, and Phil Lewis is with us. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you, Joe. Yourself?
Wonderful. So things are busy. You're doing well.
Yes, yes. Excellent. No, we're very happy.
All right. So where would you like to begin on books that are on the shelves?
Okay. Well, we've got a mixed bag today: some regular fiction, historical fiction, crime, and mythology. But a couple of the books I'm going to mention are still to be released.
Great.
Okay, first up, Young Jane Young by Gabrielle Zevin, and this is reviewed by Linda. Zevin's earlier novel, The Storied Life of A.J. Fikry, is a bookshop favorite. It's a staff pick, and we continue to sell several copies a month, so we really look forward to her latest book, and it doesn't disappoint. Young Jane Young is a smart, funny, feminist tale about power and shame. Aviva Grossman is a 20-something woman who has an affair with a Florida congressman in 2001. The affair is discovered after a car accident, and Aviva becomes a headline that will not die. She's publicly shamed and cannot get a job due to the availability of information about the affair on the internet. Aviva eventually takes control of the situation. She changes the name and moves to Maine. Fast forward to the present, and Aviva becomes Jane Young, an event planner. She builds a quiet life with her daughter Ruby. When Jane decides to run for mayor in her small town, the information from her past threatens her campaign and her relationship with Ruby. The story is told from the perspectives of three generations of women. It tackles universal themes of power, politics, and sex. But the real story is about a woman finding strength and resilience, and framing her own narrative as she grapples with and moves on from choices and mistakes of her younger self.
The name of the book is Young Jane Young by Gabrielle Zevin. All right, next up.
Next up, A Column of Fire, a historical novel from Ken Follett. A Column of Fire is the latest novel in Follett's Kingsbridge series, the earlier books being The Pillars of the Earth and World Without End. A Column of Fire begins in England in 1858, a time of great religious conflict, when Protestants and Catholics jostle for power. With the coronation of Queen Elizabeth, Protestants momentarily have the upper hand, but the rest of Europe turns against the island nation. The book follows the life of Ned Willard, a spy in Queen Elizabeth's employ. Ned is a Protestant who falls in love with Marjorie Fitzgerald, daughter of a wealthy Catholic businessman. There are spies and plots to overthrow the Queen, international intrigue, assassinations, and petty rivalries. This is a rich and complex story which brings 16th century England to life. I was fascinated by the way the book reveals the history of that era, prompting me to look up details from history lessons long forgotten.
It is A Column of Fire by Ken Follett. I love that book. So good.
Yeah, it's just really deep, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, just so engaging. Yeah. Okay, it's A Column of Fire by Ken Follett. Next up.
Next up is a sneak preview of something way outside my regular reading genre, Circe by Madeline Miller, to be released in April next year. Madeline Miller studied the classics at Brown University. Her previous book, The Song of Achilles, was awarded the Orange Prize for Fiction. Circe is a captivating novel which retells the ancient Greek myths and legends from the perspective of Circe, daughter of Helios, the sun god, and Perse, a nymph. As a child, Circe discovers she has the power of witchcraft and can transform her enemies into monsters. As the result of a deal with Zeus in an effort to avoid warfare, Helios banishes Circe to the island of Aia. Here, she develops her witchcraft, taming the wild beasts that live on the island. Through the course of the story, we meet Odysseus, who arrives at Aia and fathers a child with Circe. We also encounter the Minotaur and Daedalus and his son Icarus. This is a fantastic read, As I said, it's way out of my normal reading genre, but it's so well written that I was drawn in totally to the intrigues of ancient Greece. For me, the book clarified the muddle that had been my vague understanding of the ancient stories. But the book stands alone, too, as a compelling and interesting story.
The author is Madeline Miller. The name of the book is Circe. Next up.
Next up is another sneak preview, this time from Linda. Points North by Howard Frank Mosier, to be released in January next year. Points North is a collection of short stories about the Northeast Kingdom in Vermont, the people and places that inhabited the writing of Howard Frank Mosier for decades. Written a few weeks before his death in January of 2017, the collection centers around the Kinnison family and their public and private struggles in a small New England town. After learning of his lung cancer diagnosis, Mosier wrote, "I'm happy to leave you all with a gift of what may be my best book in Points North." This book is beautifully written with humor, compassion, and heart, a gift for us all.
It is Howard Frank Mosier's Points North. I love his writing. I miss him. Yes?
Yes, indeed.
All right. That is, again, Howard Frank Mosier, Points North, and coming out in January. Next up.
Okay, well, Howard Frank Mosier provides a nice link to our next book, The Names of Dead Girls, by New York Times best-selling Vermont crime writer Eric Rickstadt. Last month, our Whodunit book club read one of Eric's earlier novels, The Silent Girls, and Eric joined us for a discussion of his books at our last meeting. He told us what a huge support Howard Frank Mosier had been to him when he was first starting out, spending time to review his work and offer suggestions. Eric's books, like Mosier's, are set in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont. I'm just going to read a bit from the cover to set the scene. In a remote northern Vermont town, college student Rachel Rath is being watched. She can feel the stranger's eyes on her, relentless and possessive. And she's sure the man watching her is the same man who killed her mother and father years ago, Ned Preacher, a serial rapist and murderer who gamed the system to get a light sentence. Now he's free. The Names of Dead Girls is a cleverly plotted and suspenseful crime novel. I really like the book's gritty main character, Frank Roth, and the detective who helps him, Sonia Test. Both characters are well-developed and realistic, and their relationship with one another genuine. The story slowly unfolds as tension builds to a dramatic resolution. This is crime writing at its best.
It is the name...
Names of Dead Girls.
By Eric Rickstadt. Okay.
Okay. And then one last one for today is another sneak preview, and this is Alison Galen's If I Die Tonight, to be released in March next year. Galen has been nominated for the Edgar Award for a number of her previous novels. This is the first one I've read. The story begins with a late-night hit-and-run as a thief makes off with a stolen car. But who was driving? And who else was at the scene, and why? The story unfolds from a variety of viewpoints. There's Amy N., the owner of the car, an aging 80s pop star trying to make a comeback. And Jackie, the mother of Wade, the boy accused of stealing the car. And Connor, Wade's younger brother. And police officer Pearl Mays, still coming to terms with violence in her own past. This is a powerful read. I like the way Galen exposes the dirty little secrets, the guilt and the shame of the different townspeople, and how she depicts the finger-pointing and blame as the town turns on Wade, and what the effect this has on Wade's family. This is a story of betrayal and trust, of privilege and need, a great read for the whodunits out there.
It is If I Die Tonight by Alison Galen. And anything else? We have about a minute. Anything else going on?
Well, this coming weekend is Small Business Saturday.
That's right.
And also Cider Monday. That's our play on Cyber Monday.
Cider Monday, nice.
Yes, we offer customers hot cider and cookies.
Wonderful.
So we're holding a raffle with some great book prizes, and anybody buying books over the weekend will be given a 20% discount coupon for their next visit to the Bennington Bookshop. So come on down. We've got lots of great holiday reading there for you.
BenningtonBookshop.com for more information. BenningtonBookshop.com, or visit them right there in Bennington, Vermont. And Phil Lewis, thank you so much for sharing your picks with us. Always a delight to see you. Have a beautiful holiday.
Thank you, Joe. And the same to you.
Again, we post each week's book picks and all of our segments online at wamc.org/roundtable. You can find out more about the Bennington Bookshop and the great work that Phil and his crew do at BenningtonBookshop.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.